The Bob Siegel Show, sponsored by Bob Siegel.
The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by Primetime Media Group and the law offices of Matthew Simone.
Recurring themes on The Bob Siegel Show can also be found on his online column, Forbidden Table Talk.
It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist, Bob Siegel.
And this is Bob Siegel. So, you'd like to believe in God, but you get very bothered when people associate the holiday season with God. Yes, that does bother people, but there is a way to navigate through the holidays. And here to tell you all about it with our annual Thanksgiving courtesy reminder is our own Smiley Miley.
Hey, kids. Thanksgiving is just around the corner. And even though the actual holiday is Thursday, we're going to give you Friday off too. When you add in Saturday and Sunday, it will seem like a four-day holiday. But you would have gotten Saturday and Sunday off anyway, so it's really a two-day holiday made out of a one-day holiday. Isn't Thanksgiving fun? Thanksgiving is a different kind of holiday than Christmas. We don't use the word Christmas anymore because the word offends the five people in our country who don't celebrate Christmas. Not so with Thanksgiving, because no matter what people believe, everybody still loves to eat. So have a great time with your parents around the big dinner table, stuffing your little faces with turkey, pumpkin pie, cranberry sauce, and candied yams. And unlike Christmas, you can even say Happy Thanksgiving to every one of your little playmates. But be careful and make sure you don't tell them who we are being thankful to. Because if you did that, you might have to explain that the first Thanksgiving was made up of pilgrims who were thankful to God. And we don't talk about God anymore because talking about God makes people upset. And it makes them afraid that those who don't believe in God will be arrested and put in jail. That would never happen, but people are still afraid it will happen. And, well, you don't want people to be afraid, do you? Of course not. So don't talk about God unless you want to call him Allah. Then it is okay because people don't worry about being arrested in America for not believing in Allah. They just worry about being arrested in all the other countries if they don't believe in Allah. Now I know what some of you are thinking. What if someone asks me what the first Thanksgiving was all about? How can I explain that without mentioning God? Silly. There are all kinds of things to mention about the first Thanksgiving. You can mention the Mayflower. You can mention the Pilgrims, so long as you leave out the part about them coming to America for religious freedom. Because mentioning religious freedom means we will lose our religious freedom. But there's plenty more to talk about. Talk about how wild the original turkeys were. And talk about the Indians who were friendly to the pilgrims. Calling the Indians friendly is always a smart and sensitive thing to do. Only don't use the word Indian. Use the word Native American. Then people will smile at you instead of accusing you of hate speech. Oh, one more thing. If people ask you why Thanksgiving is a holiday, be sure not to tell them that holiday means holy day. Otherwise, you'll have to explain what's holy about it, and we'll be right back where we started. Well, now that you're up to speed on your etiquette and courtesy, happy Thanksgiving, everybody!
You only need to listen to this radio program once to figure out that Bob has very strong opinions on a wide variety of issues. But one of Bob's strongest passions is freedom of speech itself, even when such speech challenges his own convictions. So feel free to send Bob a comment or a thought-provoking question. You can reach Bob on Facebook, Twitter, or questions at bobsiegel.net.
When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-aged child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool and a nonprofit 501c3 organization. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
To 96.1 FM and 1170 AM. The Answer. I'm your host, Bob Siegel. I keep hearing that the allegations against Broward County are only alleged. And yet, in 2017, Brenda Snipes openly admitted that she had counted the votes of non-citizens. And in our current so-called election, she mixed provisional ballots with others. Well, don't worry. Good old Brenda hasn't exactly been asleep at the switch. What specifically did Brenda Snipes do last week to get the votes in Broward County counted properly? She took time to do a CNN interview defending her stellar record of honesty, integrity, and competence. How do Democrats get away with such raw, open, outlandish cheating? Simple. While they cheat, they cry about Republicans cheating, and they make sure their cry is louder. They make sure their cry sounds more passionate. They make sure their cry sounds more outraged. They make sure their cry is packaged for the simple-minded who will never ask a follow-up question. They use catchphrases which sound nice. Every vote should be counted. Oh, that sounds fair. Sure, every vote should be counted, but they hope you won't notice that in their minds, this includes magic votes that show up by the thousands after Election Day. And not just magic votes, votes from illegal immigrants, which even some of their own lawyers have shamelessly, openly insisted on counting. Now, some of them are trying to walk that back now. They're claiming it was a joke, but they entered it into the transcript and they claim it was a joke a week later after getting a lot of bad press. I'm not buying it. And then they insist that Governor Scott recuse himself. Yes, Democrats and anti-Trump deep state officials have become quite mesmerized with their latest fashionable talking point, namely that anyone on a side of the investigation opposite from their side, or even having a strong opinion that they don't like, has an obligation to recuse himself, be it the Florida election investigation or Russian collusion. What do they themselves ever recuse themselves of? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Just because they got that first patsy, that first sucker Sessions to go along with this utter nonsense, they are now on a roll. How many anti-Trump FBI agents who texted each other about their utter disdain for the man recused themselves from that idiotic Russia investigation? An investigation which related to Trump only in the sense that it was based on a trumped-up dossier. Catching on? People with opinions must recuse themselves unless they are Democrats or deep state or both. Meanwhile, the assault on President Trump continues, not only from the opposing party, which recently took back the House, but also from never-Trumper Republican senators. Even on his way out, Senator Jeff Flake can't resist taking another shot at the president. He calls the placing of troops on the border a stunt. Translation, I am available as a commentator for CNN or MSNBC now that I secured my reputation as the heroic Republican who dared to oppose Trump and his agenda. Let's be clear, Mr. Flake, the stunt is coming from you. And while those on the left may start viewing you as a hero, those who put you in office, those whom you made promises to, will view you as a traitor. For a while, that won't matter. But as you get older and think back about your life and whether or not you conducted yourself with integrity, you may experience regrets. That is, if your conscience is still working anymore. From securing our borders to executive orders, from blunt talk to defensive balk, the outcries against President Trump multiply like rabbits. Every time Trump sneezes, someone is offended. Every time someone gets a flat tire, it's Trump's fault. Every time he uses his authority as president, some judge overturns him, even if his executive order is merely overturning an executive order from Obama. An order that, amazingly, is within a president's right when Obama uses it. Meanwhile, our new Democrat House of Representatives has identified over 80 issues to investigate him on. Over 80 issues. Stuff that will distract his time while he's trying to lead our country. And while Congress goes after everything from their right to see his taxes to the way he once ran his hotels, CNN insists they have some constitutional right to a White House press pass. Never mind that it is impossible to issue a pass to every news outlet, and never mind that CNN was not denied in any event. But instead, Jim Acosta specifically was denied due to his swinish behavior. Think for a moment. Try to think about this. Put aside the emotion, put aside the talking points, and think. The very fact that the White House issues press passes tells us immediately that nobody is automatically entitled to be in the White House. CNN needs to get off their sanctimonious high horse. Nobody's First Amendment freedoms are being interfered with. What an ignorant way to look at the Constitution. Acosta can still say anything he wants about Trump and report anything he wants about Trump. Who's stopping him? What he can't do is pretend to be an objective journalist asking questions as an excuse to debate the president for the sake of his egotistical, narcissistic delusions of godhood. Unfortunately, this has already gone to a federal judge. And while the judge said nothing about Acosta's First Amendment rights, he did comment, interestingly enough, on the Fifth Amendment, which they were also claiming was violated. And they claimed that Acosta never received due process. Excuse me? Excuse me? Since when is kicking somebody out of a room for rude behavior a violation of due process? Due process has to do with arrests and trials, none of which are applicable here. Wouldn't a federal judge know this? What a nightmare. What an insidious judicial tyranny nightmare. And this judge was a Trump appointee. Great. Just great. Anyway, between the judges and the rhinos and the media and the Democrats who more or less control the media, the plan is clear. Do everything possible to keep President Trump from doing his job and then complain about what a bad job he's doing. As for those who think he actually is doing a good job, don't debate such people. Instead, resort to name-calling and identity politics. Never argue against policies which undeniably make sense. What's next? Will new investigations show that as a kid in Cub Scouts, Trump failed to help an old lady cross the street? Will we discover that in kindergarten, Barron once threw Play-Doh? Will some judge rule that Trump is no longer allowed to tweet or hold rallies because it displays unpresidential and thus unconstitutional behavior? Anyway, for a moment, let's take a well-needed break from it all by getting into the holiday mood. After all, Thanksgiving really ushers in the Christmas season.
Starlight, one small
Bob Siegel. They say a man's home is his castle. So when it comes to the wiring of your house, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. Instead, do what I did. Call W&S Electric Incorporated. W&S specializes in both contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, W&S takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I know the owner, Wayne Klingenhofer, personally, and I can testify firsthand to his integrity. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for W&S Electric Incorporated, license number 480539, W&S Electric.
Check out these terrific customer reviews for Bob Siegel's science fiction novel, Push the Winds Around. Another winner from Mr. Siegel. I've always loved the time travel stories, and this one takes a creative approach. Like H.G. Wells' classic, it delves into morals and metaphysics. And as any good time travel mystery, it leaves you satisfied while raising questions at the same time. Here's another review. Quick, thought-provoking, enjoyable read. And just one more. My kind of book. Adventure, fun, excitement, suspense, time travel, love, and a day at the beach. What's not to like? A great book to lose yourself in. Happy reading. Push the Winds Around, available on Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com.
We now return to the Bob Siegel Show.
Back to the Bob Siegel Show. Years ago, my son and I co-wrote and toured a short 15 minutes or so comedy sketch about Satan acting as Adam's defense attorney, filing a lawsuit against God for kicking Adam and Eve out of the Garden of Eden. We also recorded a radio version. This has aired before on the Bob Siegel Show, but it's been many years. On stage, I played the part of Satan. My son Nathaniel played Adam. In this radio version, you will be hearing Nathaniel playing Satan, and another actor, Justin Slagle, plays Adam. Let's revisit once again Lucy Ferguson, attorney at law.
Having trouble with the law? Do you face jail, heavy fines, or even a possible execution? Things like that could ruin your whole day. You need representation. Allow me to introduce myself, Lucy Ferguson, attorney at law. Our competent staff of legal experts will work round the clock to take your enemies and make them the best thing that ever happened to you. Maybe you've been accused of a crime. Maybe the circumstances are being clouded with challenging technicalities like facts. Perhaps you were negligent on the road or in the workplace. Remember, whatever your wrongs, you have rights. You should not be burdened with confusing, outdated ideas such as morality or responsibility. Or perhaps you haven't done anything at all. Perhaps life is just dull and uneventful. Has it occurred to you that the surest way to fame and fortune is to simply sue somebody? Anyone at all? It's a frequent misconception that lawsuits are limited to fraud or personal injury. Friends, I'm here with good news and perfect algebra. A plus anything equals lawsuit. All it takes is some vision. All it takes is a dreamer. A person with willpower, like the little engine who could. Give me an incident, and I'll give you a pile of money. Maybe someone agreed to go out on a date with you and later on changed their mind. Maybe your teacher assigned homework the night the Grammy Awards were on. Maybe a close friend didn't laugh at that joke which you thought you told so well, resulting in dangerously low self-esteem. Maybe it's your mother's fault that you were born so ugly. Or maybe there's somebody you just don't like. Maybe you want to sue the pants off of them just for the sport of it. Sound too good to be true? Come to the place where there's no such thing as true. The law offices of Lou. As an example, I'm going to let you listen in on one of my initial consultations with a fellow I'm certain you will all recognize. I think you'll agree that if I could represent him, I could represent anybody. Take a gander. Afterwards, we'll just see if you'd be willing to call on any lawyer besides your old pal, Lou. Adam.
Yes, sir.
Lou Ferguson. A pleasure. Did you find the place okay?
Oh, yes. Good directions. The path was wide and easy.
Can I get you anything? Coffee, cigar, maybe a piece of fruit?
No. No, thanks.
Now, Adam, I want you to relax. This is a free consultation. If I take the case, you can pay me out of the settlement. But today, we just talk. No pressure, no obligation, just talk.
That's very kind of you.
Forget it. Now, let me go over some of this information. Let's see. Under profession, you wrote gardener and zookeeper. Sounds like interesting work.
Oh, yes. A very fulfilling career. In fact, I'm the one who named most of the plants and animals.
Wait a minute. Wait just 1 minute. You're not the Adam, the one who put titles over our animal and vegetable kingdom? I'm honored. Very creative. I've been a fan for years. Such imagination, especially eucalyptus tree. I would never have thought of that. And zebra. What a class act. If it had been up to me, I would have called it a horse in his pajamas. But I must ask you, just between the two of us, what's with the orange? It's orange-colored, so you call it an orange. What, were you having a bad day or something?
I guess that isn't my best one.
Well, we can't hit one out of the ballpark all the time. At least you made up for it with a tangerine. Now, it says here that you live in Eden. Eden, isn't that lovely cluster of condos on the corner of Tigris and Euphrates?
Well, it's more like a living garden, actually. A wonderful place. I would hate to leave it. But I'm afraid I may have to.
Oh?
Well, you see, the wife and me, we kind of...
Go on, son. I know this is difficult.
We, broke the rule.
Sounds harmless enough. Usually rules from the condo association are fairly easy to challenge. What did you do? Have too many guests using the pool at once? Something like that?
No, nothing like that. You see, God, he's the head of the association. God told us not to pick the fruit off a particular tree.
Come again?
Well, there were many trees in the garden. All kinds. God put one of them off limits and told us not to touch it.
Let me see if I'm following this. You got in trouble for picking some fruit?
Yeah. Only one piece.
What kind of fruit?
I don't know. God got so mad he wouldn't even let me name that one. Now God says we gotta leave. Says we have to be out by the end of the month.
Sounds like something he'd do.
You've met?
Oh, we go way back. It's been a while since he had me out to the house. We had a bit of a falling out. But I know him well, and yes, indeed, he is a stickler for the rules. Honestly, sometimes I think he does nothing but sit around and make up ridiculous laws all day long. The guy needs a hobby. Instead, all we get from his don't touch this, don't eat that, don't work today, work tomorrow instead. Go tell that fellow if he doesn't straighten out his act, I'm going to come down there and clobber him good. And get this, he has a thing against shellfish. Shellfish! Where does he come up with this stuff? Personally, I enjoy a nice bowl of clam chowder. He's very oppressive. Doesn't believe in taking polls, hates committees. You do it his way, or you don't do it at all. The guy's a tyrant.
Yeah, but can we fight him in court?
Oh, I don't think there'll be much trouble. We'll challenge his ruling with a lawsuit.
Excuse me?
I said we'll challenge the ruling, and there's only one way to challenge.
Yeah, but suing God? God can't be sued.
Really? I didn't know you were a lawyer, Adam.
I'm not a lawyer. I just thought...
Don't think, son. It hurts the team. Now, Adam, what price would you put on the pain caused to you so far? Let's add it up. Time away from home, time away from job, looking for a new job. Stress on the marriage, chronic depression, right? I mean, you don't look too happy to me, huh? Shall we say $80,000 in compensatory damages and additional $20,000 in punitive damages? Now, let me ask you something. Was there any kind of sign posted on or near the tree telling you not to touch it?
Sign? No, there wasn't any sign.
Then how did you know it was forbidden?
God said so.
Verbal, eh? Verbal contract is not binding like a written one.
Oh.
You look troubled.
Well, it's just that whether it was written or not, I did know what I was doing.
Look, Adam, you're young and inexperienced. You've never been in a courtroom before, so let me give you some free advice. Never, ever admit for a second that you knew what you were doing.
But I did.
Okay. Okay, have it your way. Leave Eden, but I hope you're ready for it. There's a real world out there, Pally, where you do more than play gin rummy under a palm tree all day. Do you know what it's like to have a real job? With a real job, you actually work. You don't just name cows and pet pigeons. You ever been to a coal mine? Oh, you'll love it. Or a factory? You're good at naming plums. How would you like to can plums? Now, let me ask you again. Did you know what you were doing?
Did I know what I was doing? About what?
Excellent. Okay, next question. Tell me about your childhood. Was it abusive? Did you come out of a dysfunctional home?
Well, God raised me, but I was never actually a child. He created me grown up, like I am now.
Did he? And just exactly how do you know that? Have you ever checked with the county clerk's office to see your birth records?
Well, no. God, you see...
God told you, yes, yes. He seems to tell you a lot of things. So he created you, huh? Out of what?
He said he made me from the dust of the ground.
The dust of the ground? Good one. And what did he do? Empty a vacuum cleaner? Okay, so God personally manufactured you, huh? And were batteries already included? All right, here's the thing. When he claimed to create you, did he present any alternative theories?
Theories?
Did he allow you to open your mind to the possibility of evolution?
Not really.
I see. He suppressed knowledge. I'd call that an abuse. Knowledge frees people. People can feel very liberated and very valuable when they learn that they may have evolved randomly from a single-celled amoeba. God was obligated to teach you this.
But he doesn't believe that.
Oh, he doesn't believe it. He. It's about him. Oh, what about you? Don't misunderstand me. I have nothing but respect for personal beliefs. Tolerance is my middle name. God may believe anything he wants, but when he imposes that belief on you, well, it violates separation between church and state.
Come to think of it, God did act like there were certain things that he didn't want me to know. He even called the forbidden tree the tree of the knowledge of good and evil.
See, now there's an example. Using a word like evil. And personally, I find that term offensive. The modern correct phrase is ethically challenged.
I don't know what that means.
It means you challenge God's subjective, self-imposed, puritanical standard.
Oh.
You were hemmed in. You were feeling claustrophobic.
I was? Oh, I was. I was.
You were misunderstood.
I see where you're going with this. But portraying God as not understanding something, how could...
How could he understand? God is not a man. God has never had the experiences of a man.
I suppose not.
So out of disrespect for your own culture, God imposed his Eurocentric ideas.
I don't think he's from Europe.
Okay, heavenly-centric ideas. Doesn't matter. We can make this sell.
I don't know, Mr. Ferguson.
Call me Lou.
Okay. Lou, what if the jury doesn't go along?
Son, this is only one possible defense. There is another plan to kick around.
Well, what would that be?
Well, now it's just an idea, mind you. But we could pin this whole thing on your wife. I mean, she ate the fruit too, didn't she?
Yeah. In fact... She ate it first.
Ate it first? She ate it first? Why am I hearing this only now? I need to be informed about these things.
It didn't seem to matter who did it first.
She ate it first. Why did she eat it first?
She met somebody.
She met somebody? Ooh, I like the sound of that. New man in her life?
Some mysterious fellow who used to poke around the garden. I do have his name. Bill Z. Bub.
Never heard of him.
No? Actually, he looks a lot like you. Talks like you, too, come to think of it. Told Eve about our rights. About God hiding knowledge. Same kind of discussion.
Small world. So after she ate the fruit, she offered you a piece.
Yeah. I was upset at first. She said she just wanted to make fruit salad for dinner. She said she didn't see how fruit salad could hurt anything. I was still bothered.
Of course you were, because you're loyal. You respect God. You appreciate his wise boundaries.
But a moment ago, you said God's boundaries
were... Adam, this is defense two, not defense one.
Oh, yeah.
You respect God. You would never dream of disobeying him unless you were under some kind of pressure, some kind of duress. You were in a position where you couldn't say no. It was not an option. Shining off her fruit salad was no less than insulting her cooking.
I never looked at it like that.
I know you didn't. That's what I'm here for. Your old pal Lou is gonna see you through this. She pleaded, right?
She sure did.
Maybe whined a bit. Don't tell me. If you really cared about a relationship, you'd share this.
It was kinda like that.
She got teary-eyed, put the lower lip out, maybe threatened you with a couch.
We don't own a couch.
Get one. Now, Tell me more about your wife.
Okay. Well, her name is Eve.
Lovely name. Shame we're gonna have to take her down.
She's lovely looking, too. Red hair.
Red, did you say? Oh, I've always rather liked the color red. How did you meet?
God introduced us.
You were introduced? Blind date kind of deal?
Well...
Let me ask you something. Was getting married your idea?
No. You see, God, he said it wasn't good for me to be alone.
Not good to be alone? And you bought that? So you didn't enjoy the peace and quiet? You didn't like spending your evenings and weekends as you choose? You must have really craved a wife during those poker games or in the middle of Monday Night Football. You were drinking too much beer with your buddies. Yeah, you were miserable, all right. So God brings this woman along, this woman who promises to make your life unpleasant if you don't do as she says, and then God is going to turn around and blame you? We found it, Adam. Eve is your ace in the hole.
Well, I guess she'll bear up under all this. After all, she's filing a lawsuit of her own.
What did you say?
Just as I'm blaming her, she's blaming that Bill fellow, that Beelzebub.
Stop the tape! Stop the tape!
What's wrong? Hey, are you sure you don't know that guy?
Twinkie, did I get any mail today? You are hereby ordered to appear before... okay, kid, thanks for stopping by. I'll think this thing over and we'll get right back to you.
Wait a minute. What's wrong? You're not abandoning me, are you?
Abandon? I, Adam, that hurts. Listen, if push comes to shove and you need a new place to stay, look me up. I'm also a landlord.
Hold on. What's going on? Just what on earth is going on here? You said you were a lawyer, now I'm supposed to believe you're a landlord?
The best. Put me to the test if you wish. Call any one of my tenants and just see if they've ever had to ask me to turn up the heat.
What?
So long, kid. Keep in touch. Yes, I'd like a one-way ticket to Cincinnati. The name? Lucy Ferguson, attorney at law.
This is Bob Siegel. I've been on the radio for many years, but let me tell you about a voice I've learned to appreciate far more than any radio announcers. Fred Falduti of Realty Executives All Area. Now, why do I care so much about Fred's voice? Because not long ago, Fred's voice spoke the following words to me.
Bob, I have some good news for you. They accepted your offer.
That's right. Fred Falduti just sold my house. With words like those, who needs radio? Folks, I'm telling you, choosing the right realtor is no small task. Fred took a personal interest in my situation, treating me less like a customer and more like a member of the family. And Fred's been doing this since 1994. Realty Executives All Area has sold thousands of homes locally.
Our footprints are throughout San Diego County, and we are proud of our accomplishments of assisting home sellers and buyers like you. Over the years, we've managed hundreds of real estate transactions and have encountered just about every kind of challenging situation possible.
That's it, folks. That's the voice that will sell your home. Whether buying or selling, the man you want is Fred Falduti with Realty Executives All Area, 619-719-7717. That's 619-719-7717 or fredfalduti.com. We radio hosts love to talk, but let's face it, when have we ever sold your home? Fred Falduti will.
Not sure when to try an unusual novel? Let the customers speak for themselves. Here is another Amazon customer review for Bob Siegel's latest book, The Dangerous Christmas Ornament. While there is nothing in this book that would stop you from giving it to or reading it to your kids, this book will certainly hold an adult's interest as well. The Dangerous Christmas Ornament has it all. Magic, talking cats, bullies who get their comeuppance, fun dialogue, and a good story. Do not let the title fool you. While Christmas does play a prominent role, this is really not a Christmas story, and it can be read at any time of the year, except February 31st. The Dangerous Christmas Ornament, available on Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com.
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show. Speaking of Satan, while the Bible does not really portray him as a snake, that's mythology, there is a real honest-to-goodness snake in the news. Somebody in my ministry recently asked if there is any meaning behind a snake crawling out of a crack in the Western Wall in Israel. That, of course, is one of the remains of the ancient Jewish temple, and it's an event that has made big news in Israel. Yes, there is something to the snake crawling out of the Western Wall. It means a snake crawled out of the Western Wall. Nothing more, nothing less. People are claiming it's a sign of the second coming of Jesus, but no such sign is in Bible prophecy. In fact, Jesus himself said, "Nobody knows the day or the hour." He also said, "It is not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority." Now, don't misunderstand me. I do believe that Jesus will return. I also acknowledge some prophecy associated with his return, such as the Antichrist profaning the temple, sitting in the Holy of Holies, and claiming to be God several years before Jesus comes back, slays him, and rules the world. Of course, for that to happen, the temple will first need to be rebuilt, in as much as the prophecy is about an entire temple, not merely a wall. And until we see this temple incident, we are told and admonish not to become easily unsettled. So what happens all the time? Christians become easily unsettled. I'm always amazed when people try to tell us when Jesus will return. Jesus himself said that he didn't know. I'm sure he knows now. Now that he's returned to heaven and restored to his position in the Godhood. But when roaming Israel as an incarnation, having emptied himself of the form of God and living as a real man, he said he didn't know. And yet so many people today presume to know something Jesus didn't know. Now, there is a different book of Jewish mysticism called the Zohar. This book does talk about the snake from Eden making a showing before the Messiah returns, but I do not take the Zohar seriously. It's not inspired scripture. In fact, it didn't even surface historically until the Middle Ages. Now, there are many verses in the Bible and many about snakes, I have no doubt, that somebody, somewhere, can take some such verse out of context to read into it an alleged prophecy about the return of Christ. I do believe the entire Bible is the inspired word of God. Just remember, not everything is meant to have symbolism. As somebody once put it, sometimes the purpose of the Old Testament tent pegs were just to hold up the tent. If you would like to weigh in on any of this, you can reach me on Facebook, Twitter, questions@bobsiegel.net. That's questions@bobsiegel.net. Regarding Democrats accusing Republicans of cheating while they cheat themselves, Fran says, "Always speaking the truth, Bob, keep it up." Regarding the many attacks against President Trump, Steve says, "That was great, Bob. Thank you." In that same discourse, I sarcastically asked if some judge would rule against Trump having rallies and tweeting. Teddy says, "Wouldn't surprise me a bit." Lorraine says, "He is attacked on all fronts, the cancer of the deep state. Its far-reaching tentacles is a lot worse than I originally thought. Scary stuff. Even documentaries watched and thought, wow, they are trashing, totally misrepresenting him. All things North Korea." I guess you meant to say representing all things, including North Korea. "As I followed this closely in real time, the documentary completely lied. We're in trouble." Newman says, "This is why I am no longer a Democrat. They are immoral people and care nothing for this nation." I hear you, Newman. I, too, was once a registered Democrat. I always voted Republican even then. But I'm not even a registered Democrat at all anymore. Now I am an independent. Bill says, "You're totally correct, Bob. The Democrats, progressives, will now do everything in their power to disrupt our president as he's doing his job making America great again. The economy has never been as good as it has been since President Trump took office, bringing tens of thousands of jobs back to America that Obama and Hillary both told us couldn't be done. The stock market has never been higher, and unemployment is at an all-time low, with there now being more jobs than there are people to fill them. I saw something yesterday that said that Hillary is going to run once again for president in 2020. Oh, Bill, I have no doubt that she will. Whether she'll get the nomination this time, I don't know. I think a lot of the Democrats are secretly tired of her. But she has planned her whole life to be president. She does not plan on leaving this world until she becomes president. Could she get reelected? It's possible. We've become such a stupid country, we could do anything. It's possible. Anyway, Bill continues, "When the economy is still doing anything but great, I can't imagine anyone being able to defeat President Trump. I guess that Hillary just won't fade into the woodwork as others who have run for and lost have done over the past several decades." Well, Democrats aren't fading into the woodwork anymore now. They accuse Republicans of cheating, and the evidence of Republicans cheating is that they win elections and get more votes than them. So that obviously means that African Americans were disenfranchised, blah, blah, blah. The Democrats should pay attention to the many African Americans who love Donald Trump and come to his defense. Listen to Diamond and Silk sometime. They're wonderful. Anyway, let Bill wrap up here. Bill says, "Thanks for keeping our president's achievements out there for everyone to see. Bob, you're a credit to your profession and every conservative out there that many consider the silent majority." Well, thank you, my friend. Regarding Jeff Flake, Rush says, "Jeff Flake is what you get when you cross a congressman with Forrest Gump, except less capable, charismatic, articulate, and likable." Yeah, Russ, given the choice, I would prefer Forrest Gump, and I am one of the few people who did not care much for that movie. I actually thought it was a stupid movie. But a choice between Jeff Flake and Forrest Gump, I'd take Forrest, hands down. Regarding Brenda Snipes, my good friend Jim Beria says, "Snipe, Snoops, both equally reliable." Tim points out that the Fox News Network also took CNN's side regarding the Jim Acosta press pass. Yeah, they filed a brief of their own. Now, our friend Tim frequently brings up conservatives who might agree with liberals as if such an observation might make a difference to me. Well, Tim, thanks for the comment, but all that tells me about Fox News is that I am disappointed in Fox News. In any event, it doesn't matter what Fox News says. What matters is what the Constitution says. There is nothing in the wording of the First Amendment which suggests that any freedom of speech or freedom of press has been denied Jim Acosta or any other self-seeking blowhard. Nothing in the Fifth Amendment either. Regarding the latest Democrat ploy, which constantly calls Republicans to recuse themselves, Ed says, "I like to ask exactly why must he recuse? The answer is usually some fairy tale spin in their version of fairness. So I press back with something like, no, give me the legal profession that requires it. And then they call me a Nazi or something like that." Donald says, regarding the caravan, we didn't talk as much about that this week, but going back a couple of weeks now, he says, "Why don't these people in this caravan seek asylum in Mexico?" Well, some of them are, Donald. Some of them are, but the high majority are headed for the United States. Interesting how we are always depicted by other countries as being so racist and discriminatory, and yet living in America remains so desirable. Getting to America is like winning the lottery for immigrants. Why? Why, if we're such a horrible country? Well, you know the answer. They don't really think of us as horrible. They just think of us as stupid. And they take advantage of Americans' misplaced compassion. In short, they play us for fools, and we fit the part very well. Steve says, "It reminds me of a movie where the enemy is trying to run over the castle. We lift the drawbridge, but they still come. We lock the gates, but they still come. Time for the water cannons, fire hoses, rubber bullets. Either way, we are going to look bad."
And a few weeks ago on the air, I made some comments about what might happen. I was just having a little bit of fun. I talked about how when I'm in Starbucks and I see a police officer, I always like to thank them for their service and they always appreciate it. And I speculated. I used my imagination and wondered what would happen if I thanked a police officer for his service while he was writing me a speeding ticket. I imagined he would say thank you and then hand me the ticket anyway. Anyway, Lorene says, I have actually done this, but I ran a stop sign. Reese says, yeah, probably he'll give you the ticket. Sharon says, hopefully you don't find his answer too soon. Well, Ed Flossie, who is a police officer and has been a guest on my show several times, he says, I had several people thank me for doing my job. It was always appreciated. I had people thank me after an arrest, probably because they knew they were on the wrong path and the arrest might help them find their way back. Regarding Bill and Hillary going on tour, which we also talked about a couple of weeks ago, Jim says, tour de farce. David says, is it a prison tour? Teddy says, hopefully it's a three-hour tour. And then she writes it with musical notes. A three-hour tour, a three-hour tour. Okay, let us switch gears a little bit. Get back to the Bible. We're looking here at the 10th chapter of Luke. A very interesting story. I'm reading from Luke 10, starting with verse 28. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Okay, now this incident is only in Luke's gospel. A lot of times between Luke, Matthew, and Mark, you see a lot of similarity. John's, about 90% of John is unique to the Gospel of John. Sometimes people have a problem with that we read different accounts in different Gospels. Let me tell you something. If each of the four Gospels was identical word for word, people would say, oh, these aren't four different eyewitness testimonies. It's one testimony, and one guy wrote four different names on it. So it's good that people are remembering things a little bit different. And in Luke's case, Luke is not even claiming to have been a disciple. Luke was a historian from Rome sent by a dignitary named Theophilus to investigate. So Luke has interviewed many testimonies. Matthew, of course, and John were disciples, as was Peter. Peter dictated his words to a man named Mark, who was a scribe. Anyway, this particular story is found only in Luke's gospel. We've seen Mary and Martha before in the book of John, but it was a different incident. And Martha's very active. A very high-energy person, a very task-oriented person, gregarious, outgoing, apparently. Mary's more melancholy, more reflective. Now, this is not intended to be a comment on who has the better personality, but rather a comment on the misuse of personality, on understanding the time and place of things. Jesus is apparently on his way to Jerusalem. We know that Bethany is a village very close to Jerusalem. Eventually, he's going to die in Jerusalem. That's a different trip. He went to Jerusalem several times, but he knows that he's going to die someday in Jerusalem. And even though it's not going to be this trip, obviously, this trip's going to make him think about it. He's already predicted to his disciples that he's going to die, and they're having a hard time believing him. So the very fact that he's this close to Jerusalem means that he's probably being reflective, probably wants some quiet time. Probably is not in the mood for the big hoedown celebration that Martha's trying to throw him. It's probably the last thing he needs. He probably needs that like a headache needs a symphony. And so Jesus is talking about the fact that Martha is too distracted and not paying attention to the moment. Well, there are a lot of things that distract us as Christians today. One of them is legalism. A lot of times Christians will be very judgmental, sometimes even about the way another person worships God. It's amazing the things Christians find to divide themselves over. An active Martha would probably be very active in church worship. She would probably love those fast, peppy songs. She'd probably be jumping up and down and raising her hands in prayer. A reflective Mary might sit, might listen once in a while, soak in the lyrics and the music. I can just imagine a Martha in church telling Mary, well, you weren't really truly worshiping the way I was. Well, here's what Jesus would say about that. He would call that kind of thing straining out the gnat and swallowing a camel. And so that's one of the things that can distract us, legalism. Another thing is that we can sometimes try too hard to impress God and impress people. One of the things that I absolutely hate, as you know, I'm a writer. And as a writer, I hate autocorrect. Nothing makes me more angry than when my computer tries to help me and I'm not asking for any help, particularly when I'm writing my novels. And I'm writing fiction, and in dialogue, you have somebody that's meant to talk with slang. I can't stand autocorrect, and I know there's a way to turn it off, and sometimes computers will just turn it right back on. Well, Christians can do something very much like autocorrect. There have been many times where I've been out on college campuses, and somebody's asking me questions about Christianity, and they're saying, how can I know that this is true? And I'll start giving them evidence. And some Christian comes up and says, oh, we don't need to talk about evidence. We need to talk about the beauty of blind faith. And I'm thinking, buddy, it's not about blind faith. Do me a favor. Don't help me. Don't put me on autocorrect. We'll see you next week.
Bob Siegel Show, sponsored by Bob Siegel.